I know we all kind of understand the general shape of this. Like, we're all broadly aware of how far the roots have dug into the ground. There is an audio file, not the other kind of file in the Epstein files, that's really revealing. And I mean, we only have it because Epstein just, I guess, randomly decided to record a conversation that he had with Ehud Barak, when he was Minister of Defense in Israel, talking about Palantir.
Strap in, because you are about to get a level of access we may never...
Okay, so this is a guy who is recording his phone as he's 2 hours and 11 minutes into an audio file in the justicedepartment.gov website. So ignore him.
Forget again.
I really hope he doesn't talk that much.
This is an incredible audio file on justice.gov.
Please.
Exchange. He did time that Bill.
Please.
Pritzker mediating the lucrative success of private careers for formerly government officials.
So what Tom asked me this morning,
Tom appears to be...
That was great. Thank you. That was a really good snippet you just played.
Tom Pritzker, who is the...
was he thought you should make a list of his work, not... was...
Mentoring.
He said... Yes, but who has IOUs to you? Is that... Who's the... Out of the people in the past who you think you're close to... He said he really wanted you to make this list of... This person owes me a favor. This person owes me his life. This person owes
me
his job.
So what you're hearing him say, again, this is someone who led Israel's most elite...
Please.
Please.
Oh, my God.
So you got to work it backwards and say... Here is my... instead of thinking about what the opportunity...
Clean audio. Thank you. You
too. He thought there was two cyber companies. Look out. And even though I know Peter... I've never met Peter Thiel. And everybody says he sort of jumps around and acts really strange. Like he's on drugs.
That's
smoking,
true.
Yeah. He looks under drugs.
However, he has a company called Palantir. P-A-L-L-E-N. T-I-E-R, Palantir is Peter Thiel's company. And look out.
Palantir, P-A-L-A-N-T-I-E-R?
Yes.
They don't know how it's spelled.
W-I-T-L-E, T-H-I-E-L-L-Y.
T-H-I-E-L.
Yeah. L-L-Y.
No, T-H-I-E-L-L.
Okay.
So he thought that Peter would put you on the board of Palantir. Peter Thiel is one of the best, I've never met him. He's going to come here next week.
Yeah.
So I wanted to talk to him after I talked to you.
Okay.
He and Andreessen, it's called Andreessen Horowitz. Andreessen Horowitz, that's what Larry, they pay Larry $1 million a year. Just to advise
and
them.
Andreas and?
A-N-D-R-E-E-S-O-N.
I understand this is a bit scuffed, but I guess it's crazy to me that this kind of deep state shit would happen this openly, or that it's this straightforward. So this is former Israeli prime minister, at the time current defense secretary on his way out. Jeffrey Epstein is essentially saying, hey, so you're leaving government, but don't worry, your time in the limelight is not over. You need to create a list of all of the government officials who have IOUs, and then you need to get into the private sector. Here's a promising company that you could invest in and care about, Palantir. Just starting up. Palantir. Interesting, right? Shortly after this conversation, Palantir contracted in Israel and set up a Tel Aviv office. Like, it's that straightforward. It's that straightforward. This is how well-connected these people are. Day one, Palantir, Peter Thiel, that wacky guy, yeah. We're setting that up, you know? Here, you're leaving government? Well, that's okay, man. You're entering the private sector. That's where everyone ends up after government, right? We're all getting worked in together. Yeah, you should invest in this company. Which company? Oh, the most evil company in the world. This is, I actually really, really like this. I mean, it's super evil, but I like it as a demonstrative thing, because this is crystal clear evidence of the point that I've been making, which is that Israel is not a separate country. It is only in like the legal sense. Israel is and always, well, I shouldn't say always has been, because it wasn't like this in the 1950s or 60s. For the past couple of decades, Israel has operated as an external military economic base that American companies and American politicians use as a way of advancing their interests. And the reason for the continuous mistreatment of the Palestinian people, to many, it's about Jewish supremacy. But to the people in the know, it's not about Jewish supremacy, because who the fuck cares, right? You know, the deep state is made up majority of Christians, or in practice, like culturally Christian, but practicing agnostics. You know, these people don't believe in God. The real reason they keep the Palestinians the way they do is because they are a testing ground for surveillance technology. Basically, I can't say all, it's a big overstatement, a significant amount of the developments that we have made in security and surveillance were done off of the Palestinian people, because we could get away with doing basically whatever we want to them with no holds barred. In a way, it's very similar to what the Chinese did in the Xinjiang province with the Uyghur Muslims, right? The Uyghur Muslims were like a relatively isolated, separate population that they could test and develop not only technology, but social practices for repression of political dissidents, the suppression of ethnic groups, you know? Yeah, they're guinea pigs, essentially. The world cared much more, however, about the treatment of the Uyghur Muslims than they did for the Palestinians over the past few decades, even though the Palestinians have objectively had it worse. Not the oppression Olympics, but, you know, I mean, like, holy shit, look at what happened to Gaza. The UK and France are implementing Israeli surveillance tech. This is the reason why I like saying that Epstein is Mossad or, you know, Israeli or whatever else, you know, this is fine. But the thing that I cannot stand, as implications go, is the Zionist occupied government thing, or the idea that Epstein was a Mossad agent working against American interests. Buddy, Mossad and American interests are and always have been the same. The antagonism has always been surface level. The underlying power base is one and the same. You know, you can't have a Zionist occupied government in a government that is Zionists. Like, it's not, there's the, it's not occupation. It's not a foreign power. It's the same people.
Andreessen and Horowitz.
And Howard.
H-O-R-O. Horowitz. Horowitz.
Oh, Horowitz.
Yes.
What? Like, this is the deep state. It's two old people who can barely speak or spell saying, oh, you're leaving government? Okay, well, here are some evil companies to invest in. And then he did, and then they did, and now Palantir has contracts with a bunch of Western governments.
It's a lobbyist. What they are doing?
They are the biggest venture capital people in Silicon Valley.
Hmm.
What, bigger than Sequoia or Kleiner Perkins?
These are the new Kleiner Perkins. Everybody, these are the smart boys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So those two companies right away, in terms of, I said that we need, now, in the next 3 weeks, if you're going to leave, he thought there was two cyber companies.
It's fucking wild, right? You know who I really think could benefit to learn from that, or could benefit from learning about this? Liberals. Because liberals are the ones who have acted with this kind of doughy-eyed naivete for decades and decades over the way government works. You know, if you don't think this is happening to like Biden admin officials, you are genuinely delusional. We all know Trump and everyone around him are corrupt and pedophilic. Do you really think that this degree of complicity, Democratic politicians just talking openly with lobbyists, financiers, money guys, contractors, whatever else, and going like, yeah, we're going to do X. And in exchange, I want a piece of your, you know, of this company. I'm going to invest here. This is, you know, this is how we're going to allocate state power. And all of this is taking like place behind closed doors. This shit happens everywhere. The difference is that Epstein did it more and to an extent better. And also Trump does it really openly, right? Because he knows there are no consequences. Didn't this Epstein convo happen under Obama? Yes. Dems need to stop playing nice and getting cutthroat. But the Dems are implicated in this, man. There are literally like Obama officials in the Epstein files, not Obama himself. The reason they have difficulty challenging this is because at the end of the day, Epstein was just the really odious headman of a broad organization that represents power structures that the Democrats work with and within. They are definitely part of the problem. Obviously, Republicans are worse, but Democrats aren't going to fix this. That's why I keep saying, like, I would genuinely rather have J.D. Vance win in 2028 than somebody like Gavin Newsom. It is more damaging to destroy in people the hope that we might have a better presidency one day by electing Gavin Newsom and showing them that they will not, than it would be to have disgraced, you know, 23% support rating J.D. Vance get in and then do nothing. Just let J.D. Vance sit there for 4 years with an uncooperative Congress, you know? To fix it, you need to primary and be active in getting rid of Dems who are bad. Yeah, but there are limits to that too. Look what happened to AOC. Like, AOC is and was and so on a good candidate, but she's been folded in like way the f- too much for my comfort. Pretty sure that, like, you know, AOC just runs like the, or not runs, I shouldn't say, but runs with like the J Street line on like support for Israel, you know, defensive weaponry and stuff like that. We need like a demolitionist in the White House. You know, we need like a proper wrecker. You actually believe that when Republicans are trying to take away people's autonomy? What are you talking about, man? Really getting towards revolutionary politics? Look, I'm not saying that I agree with every tanky or every internet anarchist I've ever had disagreements with, but looking at the playing field right now, if you really think that voting is going to fix this, then we're reaching a point where that's willfully delusional. We're reaching a degree of like across the spectrum complicity or malicious incompetence that it goes so far beyond a good primary season. There are fundamental problems here. My position is that like material conditions will advance to a point where this becomes unsustainable and things are going to collapse anyway. Americans don't really have, the American proletariat don't really have the revolutionary consciousness to do anything there, and I don't expect them to, and it feels LARPy to even talk about it, you know. I do think that things will change for the better eventually. Yeah, but Masaigu, even what we call a progressive in Congress doesn't meet my standards at this point, you know? We need, like, yeah, the aforementioned demolitionist. At least people like Ro Khanna are willing to gesture at the extent of the problem. I think Ro Khanna actually quote tweeted that clip of Schumer where he's saying that is one of his priorities, one of his jobs as Senate Minority Leader was giving money to Israel, you know? What about Ilhan Omar? Ilhan Omar is cool. Even a lot of people who consider themselves progressives aren't really meeting this standard of mine. Like I said, AOC, I feel like she's been captured, you know? It's hard not to feel that way. You know how few political consequences there would be for AOC to be like militantly anti-Israel or militantly anti-Epstein? And yet, I don't know. She does talk. I'm not saying she's like super bad or a liar or whatever. I just think it takes an extraordinary amount of bravery to really push out here, you know? And that's an incredibly unique, rare characteristic. Very tough. Probably a little bit spooked by the fact that the Epstein files are littered with evidence that people were like killed for speaking out about Epstein. You know, bodies buried, trafficked women, people who went to the FBI and said, hey, listen, I think that the FBI is compromised and I feel like they're going to get after me. And then later they died or whatever. So a bunch of stuff like that. Chris Van Hollen seems to believe in things, at least. You keep forgetting him. I'm not talking about believing in things, man. I'm talking about like dismantling the deep state, to, you know, put it a little bit sensationally. Or like, this goes well beyond just being progressive, well-intentioned, or a good person, you know? Does kind of seem like we're going over the cliff either way. I just don't see how any revolution will happen if you can't even overcome an org as weak and pathetic as the Democratic Party. Well, wait, I didn't say a revolution would happen. What I'm saying is that, like, this is the anarchist critique of electoralism, that by participating in it, you subject yourself to certain pressures that might not otherwise exist, you know? You basically, like, capitulate to the system. Trying to like function within the Democratic Party might be a neutralizing agent to an extent, you know, like attempting to do anything in that venue might actually make you weaker in the long run rather than maintaining a kind of permanent opposition. This is true, of course. It's really just a question of like which outcome ends up better in the long run. I still think there's value in primarying the bad Democrats. I just don't think that having a good composition of Democrats is going to fix this problem fundamentally. How does one unweave the web of capital? Nobody's found out yet. If anyone ever finds that out, let me know. In my mind, a good politician should be able to look at this and not just say, oh yeah, Epstein was bad or whatever, but rather, holy shit, the entire like political apparatus of both the American and Israeli states have been co-opted by capital interests. And as a consequence, democracy in both of these countries is functionally meaningless, which is true. Like, what is the point of democracy if, like, super powerful money men are literally having convos with former heads of state? Here's who owes you favors, and here's where your money should go. And there's just no regulation or oversight or anything else like that. Like, this democracy is, like, meaningless at that point, as it is in the United States, you know? An affect where you get to decide which end of the culture war you're at. Do trans people get to play in sports or not? Sure, that's what you get to decide, you know? Is abortion legal or not? Sure, that's what you get to decide. Important issues, don't get me wrong, but the underlying systems are not challenged. And that's the issue. Big club, etc. The club is bigger than I thought. It is a surprisingly large club, but you're still not in it.